For today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of the Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, The Appealing Force of Jesus, as we pick up in John chapter 6, verse 1. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
Now, we have an indeterminate period of time. Jesus was in Jerusalem when he was saying these things. They were as the result of this blind man, or the lame man, who was healed there at the Pool of Bethesda, and the controversy that was stirred over that. And so John spends a whole chapter in that little picture, but it gives us marvelous insight into Jesus, showing how that he equates his work with the Father, and he is working in harmony with the Father. He is actually here doing the Father's work, and the works themselves testify of him, as well as the Word of the Old Testament testifies of who he is. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, after these things, an indeterminate period of time, we don't know how long it was after, but John takes us back up to the Sea of Galilee now. He's left Jerusalem. What events others there transpired, we don't know. But back in the area of the Galilee, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, also known as Gennesaret. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And so by his miracles, Jesus was attracting a great multitude of people. People are drawn and attracted to Jesus for various reasons. Some of them legitimate, and some of them not so legitimate. But Jesus has an appealing force and power. He always has had an appealing force. And it's interesting to me how that Jesus appeals to people in all walks of life. It is interesting to me how that Jesus appeals to people of all cultures. It's interesting to me how Jesus appeals to people of all ages, and how little children are attracted to Jesus. In fact, that to me is one of the most beautiful things in the world, the attraction that even a child has for Jesus. Probably a stronger and greater attraction than we who have become so complex and mixed up in our thinking processes. Oh, the beauty of Jesus that attracts men. But men are attracted by different reasons. These people were attracted because of the spectacular, the miracles that Jesus was doing on people who were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples, and the Passover feast was drawing nigh. And when Jesus lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company that were coming unto him. And he said unto Philip, "Where are we going to buy enough bread that these people may eat?" And this he said to prove Philip, for he knew what he was going to do. And Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one might take just a little. So where are we going to buy the bread? Whoa, boy, I don't know. 200 pennyworth. Now, a penny was a day's wage for a laboring man. If we had 200 pennyworth of bread, I don't think that would be enough to give everyone a little. And one of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, There's a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many? I mean, I'm sorry I said it, because, you know, what's that with this big crowd? And so Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now, there was a lot of grass in that place. Passover time, springtime in the Galilee. Beautiful. Absolutely glorious. The Galilee in the springtime has to be one of the most beautiful places you could ever see. Grassy fields filled with yellow daisies, red and white and purple anemones, lupins, brodeas, just fabulous. The beauty of the wildflowers and all around Passover time. There in the springtime in the Galilee. A lot of grass in that area. So Jesus said, have the men sit down. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down. And likewise the fish, and they ate as much as they desired. And when they were filled, the word in Greek is glutted, when they were stuffed, he said unto his disciples, now gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be left or lost. And therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over, which was over and above that which they had eaten. And then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet which should come into the world. That is a reference to the prophecy of Moses that declared, and another prophet likened to myself shall come, and to him shall ye give heed. So they were looking for that other prophet likened to Moses. And when they saw this miracle, they said, this is the one Moses no doubt was talking about, that other prophet that should come. And they recognized that Jesus was the promised Messiah. Now, they wanted to then make public acclamation. They wanted to take him and to force him to be the king, to establish now the kingdom. But this was not according to God's plan. Jesus, rather than stepping in with the popular movement at this point, just slipped away from them and went into the mountain alone. He did not allow them to prematurely acclaim him as their king. God had a special day to present his king to the nation. That special day we call today Palm Sunday, for it was the Sunday that preceded his crucifixion. And that was the day and the hour that God had prepared and had prophesied when his promised Redeemer would come. And that day, Jesus set up carefully, having the disciples go into the city and get the donkey that he might ride into Jerusalem on the donkey and thus fulfill the prophecy of Zechariah. That day he allowed the disciples to cry out that messianic Psalm 118, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Glory to God in the highest. And he allowed them to cry out that psalm. In fact, when the Pharisees objected, he said, if they would at this time hold their peace, these very stones would cry out. That was the day he wept over Jerusalem and said, if you had only known the things that belong to thy peace in this thy day, but they are hid from your eyes. So here was a premature attempt to establish him as king by the people. This was a movement of the people. Jesus rejected it because he was working in God's time schedule and not man's. Oh, God, help us to learn to work in God's time schedule rather than our own. It seems that we are always desiring to prematurely do things. God never seems to work quite as fast as we would like him to work. We would like to speed up the program of God. Well, if I could only have my way, the Lord would have come a couple of years ago. But some of you would be in bad trouble, had he. So you can be thankful he's running things and not me. So when Jesus perceived that they were going to try and force the issue and to make him king, he departed into a mountain by himself. And when the evening was now come, his disciples went down to the Sea of Galilee, and they entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And when the sea arose by reason of a great wind, and when they had rowed about 25 or 34 furlongs, 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near to the ship, and they were afraid. But he said unto them, it's me, don't be afraid. And they willingly, eagerly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was on the land where they were going. They docked immediately at Capernaum. Now the following day, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea, that is where he had fed the multitude, saw that there was no other boat there except the one wherein the disciples had entered, and that Jesus was not with his disciples when they went in the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. However, there were other boats that had come from the area of Tiberias, near to the place where they did eat bread. And when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither with his disciples, they also took shipping, and they came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, how did you get here? And Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you. Now, he didn't tell them how he got there. He just said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. You are seeking me for the wrong reasons. You are seeking me for the wrong motives. You are only seeking me because you had your stomachs stuffed with bread and fish. And that's not the reason to seek me. Jesus would not really accept those who were seeking him with wrong motivations. There are many people today who seek Jesus with wrong motivations. There are many ministers who encourage people to seek Jesus, encouraging them with wrong motivations. Encouraging people to do the work of God with wrong motivations. Now we're going to give a bicycle to the one who brings the most new members into the Sunday school in the next, 5 months. And so we're motivating all these little kids with carnal motivation, teaching them to do the work of God through the carnal rewards. God help us, how far we've come from the straight and narrow. He said, don't labor for that meat which perishes, but for that meat which endures to everlasting life. Don't labor for the material things. Don't strive for material things, but strive for spiritual things. The spiritual is superior to the material. That was the constant claim that Jesus made, and that is what men are constantly challenging today. And we in our own minds oftentimes have the challenge. Is indeed the spiritual life superior to the material life? And Satan is constantly holding up to us the glitter and the glory of the material realm and saying, look, wouldn't you like this? And the Lord is constantly saying, hey, don't strive, don't labor for the meat which perishes, but for that which is life eternal, for the spiritual things, that which endures to everlasting life. For the Son of Man shall, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then they said unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? This is a question that people oftentimes ask when they become conscious of the spiritual dimension. Well, what can I do to do the works of God? We remember the rich young ruler that came and fell before Jesus and said, what good thing must I do to inherit the kingdom of heaven? Good master, what shall I do? And I'm always looking for some work that I might do for God. Jesus answered in a paradox. For he said unto them, this is the work of God, that you might believe on him whom he hath sent. Isn't that interesting? What work can you do to be pleasing to God? The only work you can do is just believe in Jesus. That's what pleases the Father. This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, well, what sign will you show us then that we might see and believe you? What do you work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. Moses didn't give you the manna. My Father sent it, but my Father is now giving to you the true bread from heaven. Your fathers ate of that manna, and they died. For the bread of God is he which comes down from heaven and gives life unto the world. This is the bread of God, he who came down from heaven and gives his life unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life, and he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. These people had just eaten the day before and were stuffed, but they were hungry again. They had eaten of the bread of this world. And though you can eat today and you can be so stuffed, and I've eaten that pita bread with those delicious sauces and salads and all, until I was so stuffed, I thought, I can't eat another bite. I get so upset with the cleaners nowadays that shrink my coat so dreadfully. It's polyester. That's one problem. It just shrinks. But though I push myself away from the table and groaningly stand to my feet and say, I never want to eat again as long as I live. The bus isn't very far down the road until someone says, can we stop for some ice cream? Yeah, that sounds like a great idea. Hungry again. It just doesn't satisfy, does it? But Jesus said, I'm the bread of God. I've come down from heaven. If you eat of me, you'll never hunger again. And if you believe in me, you'll never thirst again. There is that area of man's life that seems to never be satisfied, that always is crying out for more, more, more. And though A person pursues after the pleasures, the excitements, the thrills of the world. One thing about them is that they're just not lasting. It isn't long before you're thirsting again. But Jesus said, I'm the bread of heaven. God has sent me. And if you eat of me, you'll never hunger again. And if you believe in me, you'll never thirst again. What glorious good news. But I said unto you that you have seen me, but you don't believe. All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. What a glorious word of Jesus to our trembling, hesitating souls. Because you see, Satan says to me, look, there's no sense you going to God. He doesn't want anything to do with you. You're a failure, man. Your life is a mess. God doesn't want anything to do with you. There's no sense you going because there's no way he's going to open the door for you. And he would plant unbelief in my heart. And if I believe that God won't receive me, then God won't receive me because I won't come. But Jesus said, whoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. All that the Father has given me are mine. They'll come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise. What encouraging, glorious words to your troubled spirit tonight. You who Satan has been hassling for so long, trying to tell you that you're not worthy, that God doesn't want you, God isn't interested. Let me tell you something. If you'll just come to Jesus, there's no way, no way he will cast you out.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of John on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of the Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org, where you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning John 6. There you'll also find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. For those of you who wish to call, our number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord bless and keep you in the love of Jesus Christ. And may the Lord work in your life this week in a special way. And may you experience God's hand upon your life as He trains, as He teaches, as He develops His work of love and grace within your life, as He prepares you for the future and for those things that He wants you to possess of His grace and of His glory. May the Lord strengthen you and cause your life to be a witness for Him in Jesus' name.
The Word for Today resource, Wisdom for Today, is a book of 365 daily devotional readings. Pastor Chuck takes us on a journey from Genesis to Revelation, pointing out God's wisdom for life. Each day features a portion of Scripture followed by practical application. Discover how the Bible speaks volumes of wisdom that can be applied in every area of your life. I'm your host, Kathy Parrish. Thanks for listening.
Little country church.
program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.